So we're in John chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse number 12. Remember, this is the setting here. Jesus was, he was on the Mount of Olives, and then he came to the temple. He was teaching the people there in the temple. And the Pharisees came to him and brought the woman caught in adultery and dealt with that issue there. And he was very wise in his answer, keeping him out of trouble with the Jews and with the Romans. And so, doing what's right before God the Father and not condemning someone to death when all of the parties were not present, when there was no proof of the accusation. And according to the law, both of them should have been executed. So the man wasn't there, or at least wasn't presented anyways, and so there was no reason for this to take place at that point. So verse number 12 here, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." I think we may, I don't know if we'll carry on further from this, or if we'll just deal with this verse today. We'll just see what the Lord has for us. But if you turn over to John chapter 1, if you remember, let's snag a couple things here to stick in my Bible to keep my place. If you remember, in John chapter 1, we have an introduction to the beginning. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Remember here in verse number 12 of chapter 8, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And here it says, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." This light, later, or just after this, it talks about John the Baptist, who came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He being John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, as we think about the beginning, you want to jump over to Genesis. If you have your Bibles with you today, it won't be in the John and Romans that I handed out there, but if you want to jump over to Genesis, and you'll go ahead and get that ready. In the beginning, it says, "God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." The passages here we're dealing with, we're talking about light. Jesus said he was light, and he spoke of darkness. Talked about people not walking in darkness. It says that he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Remember, the light of life was mentioned in chapter 1, that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that is the light of life. And he was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But in the beginning it says that when God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And it was so. Or rather, he says, "And there was light." I want to make sure that no one misunderstands here. Jesus was the producer of that light. He wasn't that particular light. That light, the light, when God said, "Let there be light," that light was actually a picture of Christ. Okay, and the darkness was a picture of the need for Christ. Right there in the very first chapter of the Bible, we have the gospel already in the very first, in the first few verses of the Bible. In chapter 2, we have darkness. In verse 2, we have darkness. In verse 3, we have the solution to that darkness, light. Okay, and so right there in the beginning, now, you know, you have to kind of look at that and look at other passages, and it kind of helps you to understand. But right there from the beginning, we have light and darkness. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. We're going to pause for a second so you guys can get a little bit of coffee here, and then we will pick up right here where we're leaving off in Genesis chapter 1. All right, did everybody get coffee that needed coffee? All right, if you need to get up and get more, if you're feeling sleepy, that's fine. We got some, still have 20 cups of coffee here. All right, so the first day when God created time, space, and matter and put the heaven and the earth together and all of that, the very first day we find that we had the picture of the gospel, or the thesis of the Bible. And the thesis of the Bible has to do with what? Light and darkness.
Yeah.
Or rather, darkness and light. Either way. But that's the theme, basically, of the whole Bible. In the first five verses of the Bible, He gives us the theme, and He tells us the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then He says, we have a solution. Let there be light. And there was light. And then God divides that light from the darkness. We're going to find that throughout the whole Bible after this, that is constantly what God is doing, dividing light and darkness, dividing light and darkness. And in our text, as Jesus said, that He is the light of the world, that light came from Him. When He said, let there be light, and there was light, the light came from the words that He spoke. We remember many other passages where it talks about that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We recognize that by the Word of the Lord were the heavens made. And so we have many passages that show us that it is the Word of God, or as John chapter 1 says, the Word being God, that made all things. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And so He, being the Word, is also the source of all things and the source of light, of course, here. And so He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you have your Bible with you, you can turn over to 1 John. That's not in your John and Romans book there. It's going to be in toward the end of the New Testament. What's that? It's toward the end of your New Testament. It's going to be close to Revelation there. You got Revelation, if you go backwards from the end, Revelation, Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. All right? That's backwards from the back of the book. You got it. Wait a minute. Yes, the first epistle of John. 1 John chapter 1, we could go through the entire book of 1 John, but we're not going to. But the point of 1 John is also this similar concept of light and darkness. So as we look at 1 John, it says, that which was from the beginning. Again, beginning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you. It's like, okay, we're talking about this message, the same message that we heard from the beginning, the same word that we had from the beginning, which was with the Father and with the Son, manifest unto us. This is the message that we're writing of you, that we've heard of Him, or this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now just take just a moment to discuss this here. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. This is a matter of fellowship. This book is a book that is written for the purpose of a couple of purposes. One, it is to evangelize, of course, those who don't have the light. It's to give them the light, that they might have fellowship with them, with the apostles, with John, and the disciples. And it is also a book that is written for the purpose of revealing the way that a lifestyle should be if they say that they have fellowship with God. Okay? So it reveals that the lifestyle of the one who is to be walking in the light. It's revealing the lifestyle of the one who says that they have fellowship with God. Now, fellowship is can be looked at here throughout the Scripture. You could look at the concept of fellowship. Some people will say that it absolutely always is talking about saved people that have fellowship with God. And others say that it's talking about lost people having something in common with God, or lost people not having something in common with God and therefore having no fellowship. Well, fellowship, we could look at Greek and all that, but I think we can just look at the concept here. I believe that it could be either or, even in this context. That fellowship here could be talking about having a common communion with God, a commonality from the lower extent that you are either saved or not saved, having a common bond with God being saved, or not having a common bond with God being unsaved. And I believe that it also can have to do with saved people who have a fellowship relationship with God as a child of God. And that fellowship relationship with God is marred, and you cannot have that communion with God if you're walking in darkness. Did you catch the idea there? The lifestyle is to be a proper lifestyle. So this walking is discussing your lifestyle, how you walk, you know, where your manner of life, and what the world sees you as. Now that does not determine whether or not you are saved, but it can and does very well determine your extent of fellowship with God. Okay, of course, you cannot have any fellowship with God if you're not saved. There's no fellowship with God. You're enemies of God if you're not saved. And those that are enemies of God walk in darkness. That's just what they do. That's how they live. Now, some may have morality about them. There are lots of people who are not in fellowship with God, but they still have good morals. That doesn't mean that they're having fellowship with God, because they still walk in darkness, because they're walking after their own heart. They're following their own heart, following their own plans, doing their own thing instead of accepting what God has for them. So we have this fellowship. If you've been born again, your fellowship with God is going to depend on how close you allow Him to be to you. And the more light you walk in, the closer He is allowed to be to you. The less light you walk in, the further away you drive Him from you. God wants to do many things in your life. If you're Christian, God wants to use you to reach the lost. God wants to use you to edify or strengthen and build up other saved people. But if your life does not, if you do not walk in the light that He's given you to walk in, then He's not going to be able to use you in the way that He would like to use you. I'm not saying He can't use you. God can use anybody, but He uses you in spite of you instead of using you because you've accepted the grace that He's given you. And I'm not just talking about salvation. If you're saved, you've accepted that grace, the grace that God has given you, that he's revealed his Son and given you the opportunity for salvation, the grace of receiving something that you don't deserve, and that is eternal life. But then on the other side of that, on your daily walk, you have to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to walk in that light. And walking in that light, again, you know, I want to make sure that people don't misunderstand. You don't walk in that light because you're some awesome super Christian. You walk in that light because God is an awesome God, and because He is able to enable you to walk in that light. But if we're not walking in light, but rather walking after our own ways and walking in darkness, it says that if we say we have fellowship with Him, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So in other words, the fellowship that you have with fellow Christians is going to be strong when you walk in the light. You're going to have that fellowship. When you're not walking in that light, well, the only fellowship you're going to have with anyone is with those who are walking in the darkness that you're walking in. Because as we find in other passages, that you don't come to the light if you're walking in darkness. If you remember in John chapter 3, I'm going to come right back here, but in John chapter 3, remember Jesus talking to Nicodemus here. He says in verse number 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name, in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You begin to look at this concept of light and darkness. This has to do with seeing the need for salvation. You see, as we're in darkness, we have only the light that God gives us based on John chapter 1, that He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, the theologian that, and I'm saying that in quotes, the theologian that tells you that we were dead in trespasses and sins, which the Bible does say. Mm-hmm. But they say that we were so dead that there was nothing. There was no light in us. There was no possibility of salvation. We had no inkling if it wasn't for God. Well, I would somewhat agree with that, but I would say that, as they say that that only the elect will be saved. I believe that the saved are the elect, yes, but not only the elect are saved. And in terms of they're looking at it backwards. The saved are the elect, yes. But God doesn't say, "Daryl here, he's going to be saved. I decided that all the way from the very beginning. But John over here, he's not going to be saved. I'm just not going to allow him. I'm not going to give him the light that's needed for him to understand the gospel. He's not. I've just chosen that I have elected for him to be saved and not for him to be saved." That's wrong. That's flat wrong. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that all those who believe, all those who are saved, are the elect. But the way that God handles that is, He says, "Here's some light. Here's some light. Now, will you receive that light?" And if he receives it and he doesn't, well, he's saved and he's not. What did he do, though? He didn't do anything. You see, God revealed the light to him. God gave him all that he needed to be saved. He just had to yield.
He could have done the same thing. But he decided, now this is for example, okay? But he decided, I don't want the light. I don't want to come to the light. I don't want to be near the light. I want to stay in my darkness. And so he decides to reach over and flip the light switch off. You see, he worked to not receive the light. And he just said, hey, there's this light here. It's pretty cool. I'm just going to go ahead and keep it here and receive it. So the difference is not that God was more powerful on him than he was on him because God wanted him to be saved and didn't want him to be saved. That's not the way God works. See, God works on each heart equally. In fact, oftentimes God is working on our hearts so much that we're brought to a position or a situation that we're like, it's like I'm overwhelmed and I don't know what to do. And then some will yield and some will not yield. Yeah. It's a decision that each person has to make. To accept that light or reject that light. Accepting the light is a passive decision. It's something that you do because the light is already there. You accept it. Rejecting the light is an active decision. You have to push God away to not be saved because He's dealing with you. And He deals with every person. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He gives you that light. He puts that light on you. And God is, for lack of better words, shoving the gospel down your throat. And in order to go to hell, you have to push it away. And that's exactly what we do when we reject the gospel. We're pushing Him away. He's working and coming after us. He's pursuing us for salvation. And all we have to do is not reject Him. That's a passive work. And so I don't want to use the word work, but it is a passive action. You just say, okay. Hey, you're right. I'm wrong. But the active action is, no. I don't care what you say. I'm going to reason in my own self that I'm right and you're wrong and leave me alone. And you're pushing away and saying no. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Is that there's the action. We're deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, the confession of our sins, He is all over us for that. All the time. If you know God, you know that you can't get away with sin. If you know God, you know just as well as I do, when I do something wrong, He's all over me about it. Because God does not treat His children. God does not neglect His children. But He chastens them and scourges them as needed. When we do wrong, God doesn't neglect us. He deals with us. He deals with us as sons. And so we know this confession. Now, I'm talking here about Christians. But you could also apply this, I believe, to the lost. You see, God is pursuing you and accepting His pursuit and not rejecting Him and pushing Him away brings that confession of sins. But it says that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. See, sin is something that we do. It's an active decision and an active action. It's an active process. If I'm going to sin,
there's an action involved. There's a work involved in that. Not sinning is not an action. It's the lack of an action. It's a passive thing that takes place. It says, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, you see, he's telling you there's the action of sinning. Or there's the non-action of not sinning. Does that make sense? This is this issue of light and darkness. Now, God is not looking... God would like for us to be sinlessly perfect. He would. God recognizes that we're feeble, fleshly people. And that we have sinned. And if we say that we haven't, well, we lie and we try to make Him a liar too. God recognizes our situation. And He gives us this, that we sin not. That we sin not. That's the hope. That's what he's working toward. You see, as the grace of God abounds in our life, sin does not. Mm-hmm. In Romans chapter 6, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. How shall we sin? How shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's not what God's plan is. God's plan is that we walk in the light. And so in order for us, if we believe the gospel, if we trust in Christ, when He's pursuing us, if we just allow Him to take control, He's pursuing after us and we stop running. And we accept the gospel instead of actively reject the gospel. Because that's what we're doing. We're running from Him actively. And when we recognize that He's pursuing us and that we need to stop running, repentance takes place, we stop running and we turn around and accept Him. Once we're saved, He wants us to grow in grace. He wants us to not walk in that darkness anymore, but rather walk in the light. Walking in the light, let me tell you guys, walking in the light is like going to the airport and standing on that conveyor belt. Because it's not you and I that have the power against the flesh to walk in grace, to walk in the light, to do what's right. But it's another power that moves us from point A to point B. It's the power of God, the grace of God, that causes us to do that. We just have to stop walking in the wrong direction. Does that make sense? I don't know if you guys are getting the picture there. I'm trying to paint a picture in your mind.
So we're all sinners.
Absolutely.
The best way to go to the head of the line is just following the footsteps.
Get on the right conveyor belt.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, and that's the other thing too. Once you're saved, you're on the conveyor belt. But when you're trying to walk in darkness, conveyor belt's moving that way and you're running this way. But you're getting nowhere. And if you just stop for a second, stop running from God for a second, well, what happens? Whether you turned around or not, you're still moving in the direction toward the way that God wants you to go when you stop running. And of course, you turn around, repent, and now start walking in the right direction, or rather, move in the right direction by the power of God. Then we have victory over sin. Victory over sin. See, we look at this like victory over sin is like we're fighting a battle, which the Bible does talk about as fighting a battle, but we look at it like we're fighting a battle and we're conquering sin. No, absolutely not. We're fighting a battle, but rather God's fighting a battle. It's His armor. It's His strength. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. It's His armor. It's His strength. It's His battle. We're not battling against flesh and blood. It's not a battle like oh, I got to stop this, or I've got to... No, it's a battle like God already won the victory on the cross. He's already provided the light. For us to go back to darkness, it's a whole lot of work for us to do. We have to purposely do that. Yes, sir.
Hey, can I run the restroom?
Good. We have 5 minutes and we'll be done. But if you have to, you can. But all right, so back to our text. Jesus said, I just lost my place in another text. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Question today is, do you have the light of life? Are you walking in that light? As we've discussed in depth, having the light is when we accept God's pursuit of us. When we accept that God sent His Son all the way from heaven to die on the cross for our sins. And then He sent His Spirit to convict us of that sin. To convict us of God's righteousness in Christ, and to convict us of judgment to come. When we accept that conviction in our hearts, we recognize our need for that Savior, and we accept the fact that He's been pursuing, He wants you to be saved. When you believe all that He's doing for you, and you trust in Him for your salvation and stop running, then you begin to follow that light. Then you're instantly, as He said in John chapter 3, he that believeth. What was He said? He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then once you're saved, once you've received the light, are you walking in the light? Are you walking? Or are you running from God in the darkness? Hopefully you guys can apply that to your lives today and each day. You just think about what that means. Let that sink in for a little while. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for what You've done for us, Lord. We thank You, Father, for dying for us. Lord, we don't deserve what You've done for us. Lord, we only deserve to spend eternity in darkness, in outer darkness. We deserve to go the way that we've been running all this time. But Lord, we thank You that when we were running from You, You ran after us. And Lord, we pray, Father, that if there be any here that are not saved, Lord, that they would accept the gospel. They'd stop running and believe that You're able to save them. And Lord, we pray for all those who are saved, Father. Help us not to begin trying to run away from You again or go away, go into the darkness, but rather walk in light and have the fellowship that we need to have with You. And Lord, we pray, Father, that You bless the men. Give them safety in their work for the rest of the day. We just look forward to all that You're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.